Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arkin, Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. The day before Thanksgiving, the 27th of November, a chilly yet sunny Wednesday afternoon. How you doing, Andy?
I am very good, except for the slight headache.
From the helmet that you brought in today.
Yep.
If you missed it on the crossover, if you're not watching on Twitch, Andy Hart showed up today, turning back the clock, if you will, with his football helmet from high school, which still fits you. Or does it?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A little tight, a little snug?
Yeah, it is, but I think that's just, you know, hard plastic from years of...
I mean, it could be that, yeah. Not just the helmet, though. We have the jersey. We have the Letterman jacket.
Yep.
And, or is that it? Was there one
jersey,
more?
Jersey, Letterman jacket.
And the helmet, okay.
And helmet.
No pads or anything? No, you're not wearing a cup?
I do not have a jock on or a cup or okay. anything like that, but I will if you stick around. We're going to talk to Danny Ventura from the Boston Herald, sort of the godfather of high school sports coverage about Thanksgiving Day football. I plan on wearing it all for that interview.
Okay.
So stick around, especially on Twitch, and you'll get to see me show you off my high school attire.
Now, you didn't wear anything for Halloween.
No.
And yet, you're dressing up today.
Well, should I have worn this for Halloween?
I mean, sure.
You could have.
It would have been something, yeah.
Thank you, Arkan. Right?
You didn't wear anything
for
Halloween either.
Right, but I'm not dressing up today, so I'm
different.
Being consistent at least.
This
you're
all
now
I have.
Dressing up on random days.
It's not a random day. It's a big day for high school football. You ever read Jerry Callahan's tribute to high school football? In the
tomorrow. Boston? Tomorrow's the
yeah.
big day. Yeah.
Well, we're not on tomorrow, so.
That's true, we're not. And yes, I have read that. It's been a while since I've read that thing, but yeah, I remember Jerry writing that.
Did you play?
I played football on the freshman team.
Yeah,
and that was it. And then I just was basketball after that.
You didn't like it, or
I wasn't. I was fast, but I wasn't very big. Like I was a pretty skinny kid, so I kind of got tossed around, and I wasn't into it. And I don't even think I would have made the team anyway. So I said forget it, and focus full time on basketball. Which, you know, now I'm a big basketball star, as you can see. But yeah, I was doing that instead, and baseball too. I was baseball and basketball, but I did play freshman football.
Okay,
and I was like the backup gunner, and I made one tackle.
Well, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it a good one? Did you light somebody up, like
no.
a punt returner?
Oh, no,
fair catch.
I kind of dove and grabbed him by, got his ankles as he was going by.
The old Christian Gonzalez tackle.
Yeah, kind of one of those. And that was the only play I ever made. And I think I lined up on offense like twice as a tight end, just a block.
Okay.
And I threw a block or two, and that was basically it. But yeah, I was a basketball player.
What about the behind the glass boys? Either of you...
Never played on Thanksgiving. I never played.
No?
Because I only played on the freshman team.
See, that's why you don't get it.
I know. Well, no, I
Special.
Get it. I liked going to the Turkey Bowl
Special.
Games. It was fun. I just didn't play in them.
History. How about you guys?
Sorry to disappoint. I was a different kind of psycho. I was a hockey player growing up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Different.
Yeah.
Do you have your helmet and jersey? Can we put that in the rotation at some point?
On me at this current moment? No, but down the road. Okay. Yeah, sure. And it's going to feel the exact same that yours did. Too tight because, you know, a couple pounds have been gained since then.
Yeah, my head hurts.
It is?
I played Pop Warner football for a couple years for Eastie, but it wasn't really my thing. I was more of a basketball guy, but I did not play in high school, no.
Eastie? Yes. You and Wiggy?
Yeah.
Yep. Eastie versus Chelsea tonight, so can't wait till we talk to...
they play tonight?
Yes,
I believe so. Is that at Fenway, or where is that?
Not 100%
Because I know there's
a couple games
at Fenway tonight, actually.
That's cool, actually. That's a very, very cool thing that's going on there tonight. Of course, Thanksgiving is tomorrow, so we won't be here, and we have all the things we usually do on a Patriots Friday that we'll be doing today, like our scouting report, our picks. We'll also have our normal Wednesday stuff today, as in Adam Schefter at 3:45. We'll talk to Scal at 4 o'clock, and as you just mentioned, Danny Ventura, the Boston Herald, covers high school sports. He will join us to give us a rundown at 4:45 about all the games going on tonight and tomorrow, who to watch for. I know that there's a lot of media people offspring that are playing in these games here in the next couple of days. So that's exciting, and we're excited to get to that. You just heard that Bruins game. We'll get to the Bruins here in just a second. Before we get to them, I was thinking about the things in Boston sports that I'm thankful for right now. It's really one thing. There's one thing I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for Wick Grosbeck and the Celtics. That's it. I'm thankful for Wick Grosbeck spending his father's money so cavalierly and putting this team together that's just awesome and kicking everybody's ass. And that's really it. I was trying to think of like something to be thankful for with the Patriots. I'm kind of thankful for Drake May.
Yeah.
But I do think that they're ruining him. I think that this is not helping his progression. I think that it's stunting it. So
does AVP.
Right. And AVP had some things to say about the turnovers today, too, which we'll get to.
Oh, so I wasn't a jerk to ask about the turnovers earlier
in the
week?
No, you were not. And he disagrees with the idea that it's not a problem. So we'll get to that, which I was very surprised to hear. I was surprised to hear Van Pelt he didn't really go at Drake May, but he did sort of contradict him, which was interesting. It was like when Mayo contradicted Robert Kraft in the introductory press conference. He's like, actually,
right.
It was kind of the same thing. But we'll get to that in just a minute. But really, I'm thankful for the Celtics. The Patriots stink. The Red Sox are, I think, about to go through the same crap they always go through every winter, where they're interested in a bunch of players like Blake Snell, who just signed with the Dodgers and deferred his whole contract so they can sign whoever else they want to.
Did you laugh out loud when you saw that? Like, when you saw Blake Snell reach his agreement and then it's Dodgers? I laughed.
I saw that.
That's all you can do now.
And I laughed. And then I really laughed when I saw he was deferring the contract.
Right.
When I saw that, I was just like, you've got to be bleeping me. Like, come on.
Seems like a bad idea.
Unbelievable. And that's why they're able to do this. Shohei Ohtani's making $2 million a year. Everything's going to come to him after his career's over. So they're able to keep maneuvering. They're able to keep making these signings. And Blake Snell will be a Dodger. That's someone I had on my radar last year and this year. I like Blake Snell, and I thought he would have been a good addition to this rotation. And apparently the Dodgers thought so too, because they signed him. They signed him for a lot of money, and they're still very much in on Juan Soto, I think. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But the Bruins getting blanked 2-0. Blanked.
I love it when you say that.
They did. They were blanked.
And they got blanked.
The Canucks blanked them pretty hard.
And we got blanked as viewers.
We sure did. In the last three games, the Bruins have scored 3 goals. They said 1-0 over Utah, 2-1 over the Red Wings, and they lost 2-0 last night to the Canucks. That is the Joe Sacco era. That is what it looks like. And I'll say this. Defense looks better. The defense is looking better. They only let 13 shots on Jeremy Swayman last night. That is something, because the Canucks are no pushover. That's a good offensive team. That's a team that has some firepower, and the Bruins D was able to lock in on the blue line, and pretty much, I thought, even the goal I thought was a little iffy
from
Jake DeBrusque. Yeah, Sacco didn't like it. I know they were going nuts on the broadcast. Swayman was flipping out. Everybody had a problem with that goal. But I watched it, and I was like, well, they'll eventually get it back. They're all over this team. They're outshooting them 3-1 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
This shouldn't be too much of an issue. Nope. Nothing. Offensively, just nothing. 0-for-4 on the power play. That last power play in the third period after the interference on Pasternak, I think that was, and we have different tiers of what was the saddest part of the game. That, to me, was the saddest part of the game. It's the third period. You're halfway through the third period. You're down 1-0. You've been peppering this guy with shots the entire game, and you get a power play, and you get dominated by the Canucks for the entirety of the 2 minutes of that power play. Not one shot on net. It wasn't as egregious as that game where they had no shots in the entire third period. That was maybe the worst thing I've ever seen, but this was pretty bad. I mean, this was, you would think that'd be the type of thing that would fire up a team and get them ready to go, come on, guys, it's 1-0. We have them right where we want them. Let's go out there and let's get a goal. And they didn't even get a shot off. That was to me the saddest part, but you disagree.
So there was a more almost granular point that was even sadder to me, and it was the end of the second period.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the offensive zone, and there was a rebound and sort of a loose puck, and Zadorov looked at the puck, which was headed toward him from the goal.
I remember this, yeah.
And looked at the Vancouver player skating toward him and the puck, and that's really all he did.
Mm-hmm.
He just looked. He watched the Vancouver player skate, take the puck, and skate right by him. He didn't go for the puck. He didn't go for the body, and he didn't start to play defense
right.
and backskate.
And he wasn't like trying to mark somebody else.
Nothing.
It was just
absolutely
right there.
It was just like, it was almost like he froze in time with, huh, what should I do here? I have a couple options and I'm not really sure. And to me, that's symbolic of the way they've played the entirety of this season. Unsure of themselves,
yep.
No fluidity to their game, no sort of aggressiveness, no confidence. And that's also a little symbolic that Zadorov is one of your big offseason signings.
Yes.
And a big guy who I think should be part of the 2024 Big Bad Bruins.
You add some toughness, right?
Yep.
Yeah, of course.
You know the only problem is? They're the 2024 Bad Bruins.
Mm.
Like, they're not big bad, like, in a good way. They're just bad.
Yeah.
And that was symbolic to me. And I, you know, they kind of brushed, they noticed it on the broadcast. They talked about it. But they kind of brushed it off. And I was like, how are we brushing that off? It almost felt like in football we would call that kind of a business decision.
Yeah.
Like, a guy's running and you kind of, like, half-ass your angle or don't really go all in to, you know, and he cuts back and you make it easy on him. That's what he did. He made it easy on Vancouver. And I was like, that is who they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
They're a sad little hockey team instead of a big, bad hockey team.
Yeah.
And he's supposed to be one of the key additions that was supposed to elevate them.
Right.
For the Panthers and other teams.
And stop them from getting pushed around.
And, well, and he didn't stop anything.
He didn't stop a
single thing.
Like, it'd
be one thing if you say, well, he's not going to go for the puck. He's not a, oh, so go for the body.
Right.
Okay. Or get back on D. If he had even done that, I would have said, well, he did it aggressively. He wanted to cut off a breakaway. Okay. He did nothing. Literally nothing. So that is one of my candidates for the saddest part of the night. I'd also, sort of a wild card candidate for saddest part of the night, tribute videos.
Not one.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
One, but two.
Two tribute videos.
For DeBrusk and Heinen.
Jake DeBrusk, Danton Heinen. Both received. Now, I don't know what kind of reception they got. I wasn't there, so I don't know how it was received by the crowd.
Yuck.
I would imagine Danton Heinen probably got a decent little pie. He was one of those ham and egger type of
sure.
players who I think, you know, Bruins fans tend to like. He'd score a goal for you here and there. Jake DeBrusk was a very polarizing player when he played here in Boston.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people who didn't like him. There was a lot of people who thought that he got Bruce Cassidy fired.
Yep.
There was a lot of people who thought he was soft. A lot of people who were happy when he ended up signing with Vancouver. Let me tell you something about Jake DeBrusk right now. Jake DeBrusk is currently on pace for 57 points this year, 25 goals and 35 assists, which actually is 58 points. I don't know why it says that.
I was just thinking in my head, that doesn't add up.
I'm just reading right off of ESPN. That's 58 points. David Pastrnak is on pace for 29 goals. That's four more than DeBrusk, 39 assists, which is only six more than DeBrusk, and 10 more points, 68 points. You're talking about two pretty similar players right now. Yeah. How's that grab you, Bruins fans? How's that grab you? The fact that Jake DeBrusk is roughly the same level of production right now as your guy David Pastrnak, as your star David Pastrnak, who I think is just every night, you know, he's a minus four on the season. It seems like he's on the ice for a ton of goals. The power play with him on or without him, it just doesn't make any difference. It seems like it's just unable to get out of the mud. And I'm not blaming all this on David Pastrnak because there's a lot of problems with this team, and he's one of the only guys I think that can score a goal, period, who can put the puck in the net. But he's not doing it. I mean, he's really not doing it very often. And that, I think, is indicative of a bigger problem here with this team that goes beyond Joe Sacco and beyond Jim Montgomery and beyond Jeremy Swayman, who, I mean, listen, he only had to make 13 saves in the game, and that's all he made, and he did let one in. But still, you can't win a game 0-0, can you? You know, like,
no.
This team can't score. They cannot figure it out. Now, it seems like Sacco's going one piece at a time trying to fix it, right?
Yeah.
Like, all right, let's get the defense settled, which they have, and the defense has been good lately. Detroit sucks, whatever, and Utah sucks, but Vancouver doesn't suck, and you did a good job against them. I thought that was a nice effort on defense there, aside from that play you just mentioned with Zadorov. I thought they did a good job on the blue line.
Sure.
The power play and just the 5-on-5 scoring is abysmal on this team right now. Abysmal.
And did you see Charlie McAvoy's media gathering at his locker?
I don't think so.
They asked him, like, you know, obviously the point of discussion is you guys can't score goals. And is there a belief that you're close or you're about? And he goes, well, we have to believe that.
Mm.
That's a weird answer.
Yeah.
You have to believe it. Basically, because
he's given lots of weird answers these days, isn't
very much so. Yeah. And it's. There is a sense of resignation. Like, why can't we score? Why can't we put the puck in the net? We're supposed to have the players to do it. We're shooting our shots, quote unquote. It's not like for a while there, it felt like they weren't taking enough shots.
Mm.
Now they're shooting. They're just not putting it in the back of the net.
Nope.
And that tone of his that, like, yeah, we have to believe we're close because otherwise you might as well just pack it in and call it a year.
That's what it sounds like when you're out of answers,
right? And
when
they
you're out of answers
are.
You're out of options, you're out of everything. It's just, and we're so early in the season for this to be happening,
just like the coach sounded that way.
Yeah,
but the coach left and he went to a nicer place where they gave him a 5-year contract and he
right.
still had his sweatshirt and he's all happy because once a Blue, always a Blue.
Mm-hmm.
What are these guys gonna do? They got long-term contracts. Once a Bruin, always a Bruin.
It's a great question. What do you do here? How do you fix this? What do you do about it? Is this just part of the process? Do you expect them to start suddenly getting their act together and winning some of these games? I'll tell you what. I think that they're better than this, but I'm not convinced of that anymore. I thought the slow start was going to be temporary. I thought it was going to be something that eventually they played their way out of because I thought this team's too talented. There's too many guys on this team who are better than the guys on the other side, and they're eventually going to start breaking out of this. And I don't know about that anymore. I really don't. This team just kind of sucks, right? I mean, they just kind of suck.
Yes.
And I don't know why they fell off so hard, but they're bordering. Like, lately, they've been kind of unwatchable. Offensively, they've been kind of unwatchable. And what's depressing to me is that you're not like the Red Sox, where you're having a bad season, but at the very least, you know you got these guys coming up through the system. We're about to hit the majors, and all of a sudden, everything's going to be better.
Nope.
Right? You don't have that. Fabian Lysell is not really doing much in Providence right now. Patras bouncing back and forth and not really staking his claim there either. Lorai stinks. Beecher's fine, but he's not going to save the team or anything like that. McAvoy was drafted in 2017. Since then, you landed Swayman in the fourth round and really not much else to speak of, and that sucks. But it doesn't just suck now. It sucks going forward because it seems like even if you fire Sweeney, whoever the new guy is, he's going to have two or three good drafts before you're back in the saddle with this team. And, you know, I mean, we'll see what happens with their high-priced guys. But right now, a lot of them are looking like total waste of money.
Well, and that's where I think the difference is, too, is you have, like, so we criticize Devers.
Yeah.
But the Bruins are like the Red Sox if they had, like, five Devers. Guys making big money that you kind of wanted them to sign. Like,
mm-hmm.
you were kind of complicit as a fan. You like Pasta, right?
Sure.
You like McAvoy.
Yep.
You like Swayman. You liked the idea of Lindholm. You probably maybe liked the idea of Zadorov.
I like the idea and the signings of all those guys.
Yeah, the problem is it doesn't work.
No.
None of them are playing very well. They're not helping you win games, and there's no cohesion. The thing between Lindholm and Pasta and them not really fitting together, and they're all big money long-term deals. So not only would a new guy coming in trying to build a roster have to draft well over a couple year span,
yeah.
he's got to figure out big money contracts. Or do you start to do the NBA thing where you're trading contract for contract and just trying to swap out numbers to shake it up? Like, I don't know how you fix that cap situation with big, or maybe you say they got to figure it out. Maybe they are the foundation. Maybe McAvoy and Pasta and Lindholm and Swain, like, you guys figure it out. Sacco, you figure it out because they're here to stay.
Yeah. Yes, Dan.
So, Andy, I want to clarify something you just mentioned. Are you expecting more leadership changes to be coming? Like, is the coach the first of many changes to come after the season if the trend continues like this?
Yeah, and I think the general manager is, too. In that press conference when they fired Montgomery, he said, and if this doesn't work, there will be more changes, including organizationally.
Right.
And that means GM, president, that means executives that make the big money and the big decisions.
That means me.
Yeah. Right. Right. He might as well have said me.
Yeah.
That, like, I'm playing for my job. I'm working for my job right here. Sacco probably has my job in his hands. Swayman has my job in his glove. And I do. I think if they just kind of scuffle along, if they play this season the way they've played the first quarter plus of this season, yes, there are going to be significant changes somewhere along the way. The first would be probably the trade deadline. But the concern there is that age-old question. If you're starting to have concerns about Sweeney, do you let him make decisions about the roster at the trade deadline?
Great question. I say yes because that's the one thing he's good at.
Okay.
I say yes because at the trade deadline, Sweeney turns into, you know, the man. Like, he suddenly figures out the best guys to target, the best deals to make. He always makes these good deals at the deadline, it seems like. That if you want to fire him, I would bring him back as like a trade deadline analyst or like a consultant or something who only works at the trade deadline. Get someone else in to draft, get someone else in with the free agents, and just have him as a trade guy,
sort of
a trade guru or something.
It's a new spin on the Belichick coach GM thing. This is even more finite. You're the GM, but only the GM for the trade deadline.
Exactly.
The rest of the time, we'll handle some other duties.
You'll be the assistant GM, director of trade personnel, whatever. Sure. I don't make up a name. I don't care what it is. But
senior consultant for the trade deadline.
I'd keep him around for that, and I would keep him around for this trade deadline too, because I don't know if the next guy is going to be as good at maneuvering the deadline as he is. I just hope the next guy is better at everything else.
And my other question is, if we get to these big picture conversations, is the one I asked you, what's the Neely Sweeney breakdown? Are they just tied at the hip? Is Neely going to fire Sweeney and stick around?
Good question. Is Jacobs going to fire them both?
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that is questionable debate. I think they probably should go together if they go. They seem like they're a package deal.
Yeah.
Hell, right up in the press release, you got to have Sweeney and then Neely. It's like
true.
They're together in lockstep.
Yeah, and losing to Jake DeBrusk seems like one of those moments, you know, in the season where it's like, oh, God, you know, you lost to him. Jake DeBrusk came in here and beat you. That's who gave up the goal, and you got shut out by this Canucks team the 3 days after. You got that little bounce, right? You know, you got the 1-0 win over Utah, 2-1 win over Detroit, two
very
bad teams.
Little bounce.
The smallest bounce you could possibly have. That dead cat barely got off the ground.
Yep.
But now here we are, offensively about as bad as it gets here for your Boston Bruins. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. MLB Network was talking a lot about Juan Soto. We have Blake Snell going to the Dodgers still in on Soto, as are the, I almost said the Knicks. How about the Mets and the Yankees, along with the Blue Jays? I've heard the Phillies are still kind of kicking around. MLB Network has picked their pony, and I got news for you, Red Sox fans. It ain't you. Here's Dan with what's trending, and we're right back.